Our next topic is on offshore issues, decommissioning responsibility and liability in the Gulf of Mexico, and the evolving rules of financial assurance. We've got Jim Noe with Holland & Knight's Washington, D.C. and Houston office. He's actually an LSU law school grad. With that, if you'll welcome Jim to the podium. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I'll excuse you for that slightly tepid response since it's late in the day, and I'm literally the last thing between you and the bar. So, I think I'll actually not take the whole 30 minutes, but I have to say, sitting in the audience watching lawyers attempt to cover any topic, let alone their practice area, in 30 minutes is quite humorous. So I think I'll be able to make it through there. I'm going to talk about something a little different. It's offshore. I think I'm the only offshore guy today so far, or at least explicitly offshore related, which may be a slightly unusual for this crowd. But I have to say that, you know, as lawyers, sometimes we don't get to choose what we become experts in. And decommissioning is that for me. I've spent way too much time on decommissioning. If any of you know anything about some of the most recent bankruptcies offshore, Fieldwood Energy was the largest offshore bankruptcy, and I was a regulatory counsel for Fieldwood during that bankruptcy. There's a new bankruptcy some of you may be aware of, Cox bankruptcy, which is here in the Southern District, involving mostly decommissioning liability. I'm representing five or six predecessors in that case, and some of which are purely now land-based operators. And you'll see the law in the offshore waters in the federal jurisdiction is much different than what we've encountered in Louisiana and Texas state law with respect to who's liable when the current owners or owner goes belly up, either defaults on their obligation to decommission offshore structures and wells, or goes bankrupt. So happy to make it through this, hopefully in less than 30 minutes. So just a little bit of context, I sort of covered this. You know, a lot of the offshore bankruptcies, almost all of them have involved mostly shallow water players, people that have focused on the shallow waters of the Gulf of Mexico. The shallow waters are somewhat unique. They're certainly not as old as some of the wells that some of your clients are drilling in Texas and New Mexico and elsewhere, but the wells and a lot of the infrastructure has been there a very, very long time. You know, we started drilling offshore wells in the 40s, and many of the structures that are the source of a lot of the decommissioning liability, like the platforms, you know, shockingly were installed a very long time ago. And we'll see that that's very relevant for the legacy liability that comes with the decommissioning. So you see there's a bunch of billions of dollars, basically, that are involved in a lot of these shallow water, mostly shallow water focused companies. Decommissioning was the big driver, frankly, for the big bankruptcies that we've seen in Fieldwood and in Cox. And we're going to talk briefly about bonding, which is one of the most arcane topics that you could possibly talk about at 3:15 anywhere. But I'll cover that fairly quickly. And if you know anything about bonding for decommissioning liability for offshore infrastructure, you'll know that it's actually quite controversial in the industry, and I'll briefly tell you why. So before I talk about who's liable for what and when, there's a bit of a choice of law discussion that we have to go through, and I'm not going to bore you on going through all the points, but I'm going to cover a couple of highlights, and just another introductory. I don't have any seismic maps or property plots or contractual provisions. So hopefully it'll be slightly more exciting at this point in the day. But so the choice of law, you know, there's one of my fellow presenters and professor at LSU Law School has a very good article about sort of the choice of law with respect to decommissioning liability and how the federal law sort of took precedence beginning in 1953 with the passage of the main statute that governs offshore drilling, which is the Outer Continental Shelf Lands Act. That followed a lot of disputes where Texas and Louisiana principally tried to claim rights to be able to drill offshore wells. And the feds, you know, the feds have the bomb, and so they stepped in and said that, any oil and gas activity seaward of the state boundaries is in federal purview. So that's kind of the guiding principle, but you'll see that state law is not completely irrelevant